Hi, this is Bill Arnold. Missed a show or need me talking to help you sleep tonight? I have several solutions to that situation. Here are the podcasts from the show. You are the best for listening and supporting Faith Radio. Warm welcome to Afternoons with me. I'm Bill Arnold. You may remember Jeff Verdorn from my previous hour. He was here with me in studio when I had Dr. Mark Muska as my guest for Ask the Professor, and I invited Jeff to come early, and he said yes, and we've been having a great time. I have to say, just studying God's Word is the most exciting thing there is, period, end of sentence.
I need to take his class, too. He is He's amazing, wise man.
Yeah, no, it just kind of comes right out of his bones.
Yeah, you know, that's why I make all my charts. We're going to look at one of my charts today, because I can never remember where stuff is or what the reference is. And he was just going right off.
Yeah, he walks in with his Bible and no notes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible. But this summer we've been doing a series on salvation, and it's been a wonderful series. And we're not resuming our series, but we're going to talk to Jeff about the salvation scripture references, just because he's done such an amazing job of constructing this. And I want to keep continuing this theme of the salvation summer, because we got 11 days left of the summer, and that's it. Mm. And I don't want you to go into the fall wondering if you're saved, wondering if you have confidence in your salvation, and I want you to be equipped to be able to explain the doctrine of salvation to people who are interested, because we have to be equipped and ready to share our faith with others.
Absolutely. In fact, when we get to the end here of this hour, we're going to talk a little bit about our inheritance and our assurance that we have in Christ.
So let's start. I mean, I'm not giving you any big formal introduction or anything, so we're just kind of into it now.
Well, yeah. Well, this chart that we're looking at, so I have a chart in front of us that basically has, how does God see the unbeliever on the left-hand side, and the theologies that you just talked about are the subtopics of how we move from being unsaved to being saved. So when I started this chart, it's kind of an interesting story. I because I need to make lists, and I love to make lists of passages of related topics, right? So what does God have to say about this and that and so on? Well, these are little topics and subtopics. So I started this chart on salvation with basically an unbeliever on the left, a believer on the right, and right smack into this in the middle is this word called believe. And it's a giant decision point. It's a diamond. If you've ever done flow charting, right? There's, you know, the diamond is the flow chart, right? If then, if you believe, if you don't believe. So that's right in the middle of this chart. And surrounding it are some of these subtopics that we are going to talk about today. So God's heart, his desire, his command, this assurance, this concept of assurance, and so on. And we'll get to all of those. And I got to the end, and I realized, oh, wait a minute. I don't have John 3:16 on my chart.
Why'd you miss that one?
Good question. So I started looking at my chart and trying to figure out, well, where does John 3:16 go on my chart? What subtopic does it fit into? And I realized that the whole chart was John 3:16. So from left to right, I have, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes, right in the middle, right, that word believes, should not perish, but have eternal life. And so I wrote John 3:16 kind of across the whole chart, and I made this one chart. What I ended up doing, long story short, and we did one of the other charts a couple weeks ago when I was here talking about 1 Corinthians 15 and the gospel, and I hope the next time we're here, the Lord willing, we'll do Galatians 2:20, which will be another one. But I ended up developing seven themes from the scriptures of the New Testament using seven specific verses, and that became a class I call Seven Scriptures You Need to Know My Heart, and this is one of them. So hopefully most of the people listening have John 3:16, you know, committed to memory and know it by heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's a lot of people that are coming across the station and learning about God for the first time. So the answer is yes and no. So this is a wonderful opportunity to teach and to introduce new believers or new people interested in John 3:16.
Absolutely. And you know, we should probably start with, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then the next, then listen closely to this next hour, because it is basically God's command, God's call for you to believe and be saved. And so that's what we're going to do. If you're a believer already, and maybe you don't, Bill talked about the theology of salvation. That's called soteriology, the study of salvation. And if you have a small view or maybe don't understand salvation quite well enough, then take this hour to learn about the robustness, about all the things that God has done for the believer for the person who's believed in him.
Okay. Jeff, let's start with what is God's desire? Let's understand what God's desire is.
So this is in the upper left-hand corner of the chart, and it's God's heart. And what does God want? What is his desire for people? Well, I have several verses here. 2 Peter 3:9 says that he's not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. 1 Timothy 2:4 says that he wants all men to be saved. And in Matthew 18, he says, I'm not willing that any should be lost. That's God's heart, right? God's heart is that all would turn to him in faith and all be saved. Now, is that going to be the result come judgment day? Well, no. He says broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many go through that broad road, and few go through the narrow gate and the small road that leads to everlasting life, right? And few find it. So not everyone is going to believe, but know this, God's heart, his desire is that all would believe in him. And so he then the next box next to that is then God's call, his call on people. This is an interesting question, right? Because there's a passage in Scripture that says, no one seeks God, but then he says, seek me and you will find me, right? Well, how do you reconcile those two things? And this is also obviously a theological debate. We've talked about some of these debates in the past about, does God truly want all to be saved? Does he offer salvation to everybody or not? And so on. But here's what I know. Here's what I believe God is saying, that he calls all men to believe in him. And so how does he do that? And I think it's cool because I think there's a number of clues in Scripture on how he calls. Remember, Jesus says, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself, right? Not just some, but all. So I think he puts eternity in man's heart. Ecclesiastes 3 says that God puts eternity in man's heart. Every single culture on every continent in every century has believed something about the afterlife in some way, shape, or form. So some built great pyramids and mm-hmm. put their kings with lots of treasures for the afterlife. But everybody has had some understanding. And I think that's God has put that there.
Amen.
I think God has put that understanding of eternity in man's heart. He says in Romans 1 that all creation declares his glory so that man is without excuse. So when you open your eyes and you see creation, you should know inherently that there is a creator. Just as if you'd look at a painting, you know inherently that someone painted that. So God says that when you see creation, you should recognize that someone, him, created it. And then Romans 2, it says he writes the righteous requirements of the law in people's heart. And it says your consciences bear witness to this fact. Everybody knows, has a fundamental understanding of right and wrong, right? The thief who goes out to steal for the first time inherently knows that it's wrong. And I think God put that there. In fact, it's a lot of philosophers over the ages have said that understanding, that moral code in our hearts is a clue or even proof that there was a moral code giver, meaning God. And he's placed that there. Well, that's exactly what the Bible says. He also says he sends the Holy Spirit out to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. So God's busy knocking. Remember Revelation chapter 3, where God says, I stand at the door and knock. Whosoever opens the door, I will come in and eat with them and they with me. I think that's a perfect picture of God's calling on mankind. And faith, by the way, if you open the door, I think that's a picture of faith, a metaphor for faith, for believing in him. And if you open that door, if you put your faith in him, he will come in, he will save you, right? So that whole Revelation, in fact, Luis Palau used to end every one of his public statements with that passage, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever opens the door, I will come in. And I think it's a perfect metaphor for that.
Is that where we get the idea of inviting Jesus into your heart?
Sure.
Would you guess that's where that verse
Yeah, I think that's I think that metaphor. Remember, there's a few of them. To the woman on the well, or the woman at the well, he said, "If you would have known who you were talking to, you would have asked me for living water." Right. Well, that's just like opening the door. And remember the serpent? If you looked up at the serpent in the Old Testament when Moses there, you would be healed. It's that act of looking up. That's not what healed you. That's just the faith that opened the door for Christ to come in, to him to give you the living water, to him to save you. And we'll get to that, all the things that happen at the moment of salvation. But that's God's heart, and that's God's call. And so when you think about it, God loves all. He desires all to be saved. Now think about this string here in light of where we're at with, you know, tensions around our country. God loves every single person. He desires every single person to be saved. In fact, he calls every single person to be saved. In fact, he died for every single person on the cross, right? The righteous for the unrighteous. He took away all sins. He was the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And he offers it, and in fact commands it, to believe and be saved, which we'll get to in a minute. So this part where I just said the gospel, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the